So welcome students. Now we are moving to chapter 7. This is one of the lengthiest chapter. So therefore you will find that the number of slides devoted for this chapter are also very large. Have patience and listen patiently to this chapter. It's a technical chapter with little bit of laws, calculations. So just have your presence of mind as you go through this chapter 7, which is production analysis. The objectives that we are going to cover in this chapter are the concepts of production in economics. So you'll understand what production is from economics perspective, what the production function is about. The entire chapter revolves around this production function. So this is very essential. Production function gets further split up into one variable input, two variable inputs, and all variable inputs. So this is very important. That when you study about production function, you have to remember there are three types of production function categories on which the laws are based. So we have production function with one variable input, two variable inputs, and all variable inputs. Okay? Then you have Cobb-Douglas production function. Now Cobb-Douglas is a mathematician who built up a production function to understand the relation between input and output. And finally, we have a theory to support the laws known as economies and diseconomies of scale in production. So remember, production meaning, production function with one variable, two variable, all variable inputs, Cobb-Douglas production, and economies and diseconomies of scale. So let's proceed further one by one. We start here first with what production means. Production is creation of something tangible. Now, tangible is something which you can see, feel, touch, which can be used to satisfy human wants. So we are talking here about the consumer goods that are available. Okay. However, matter already exists. Matter means raw materials. Raw materials are already there. So the raw materials are used to process into a finished good, which is tangible goods. The process of addition of utilities. Now, economists say that a production is a time-bound program. So, the process of addition of utilities. Now, here you see the word utilities. What is utility? You remember? Want, satisfying power of a commodity. So, in any production process, the utility keeps getting added. So during the entire production process, the utilities are getting added. Like when we are converting a raw material into some finished product, we are changing its form. So economists say that in the production, it's a process where there is addition of utilities to the existing matter. Existing matter is the raw material. So when the raw material is being processed, the utilities are getting added at every stage of process of production by changing form, place, and keeping it over time. Okay, so if we take an example of, let's say, a car, okay, a company manufacturing car. So all the raw material that is used for manufacturing car, the raw material is the existing matter, which is changing its form. From the form, the place of production to the place of final distribution differs. Okay. And finally, time. So when this car will be launched in the market. So changing the form, then you have a place. Place is place of manufacturing to the place of final distribution and the time period. So never forget, production involves form, time, place, utility. It is changing the existing matter, making it more utility. But the moment we say the word utility, we are talking about human want satisfaction. We move further to the next. Now here, technically we say production is a process of transforming input to output. It's very simple. The process in which inputs are getting transformed to output is production. So as we said, any raw material, when you are converting into any finished or semi-finished product, it will be understood as production. This is accomplished by the use of factors of production. Now here we are introducing you to the factors of production like land, labor, capital, organization. So economists say that for every production process to take place, the factors of production has to be brought together. So in the production setup, land, labor, capital, entrepreneur or organization are accumulated together for converting input to output. These factors are also called as inputs. You can also use the word factors of production. Now we have taken one very basic example for your understanding. We have taken Infosys Technology, which is having 1 lakh square feet space in IT Park, Pune. And it's on lease from Maharashtra IT Development Center. So here you have the land areas. Land becomes the factor because we mentioned about factors of production. So this example is to make you observe and pick up the factors of production which you find in this given example. So when you talk about 1 lakh square feet space, that becomes land as a factor or an input. Let's see what other factors you find in this example. Company will incur lease rent irrespective of activity at this space. So if the company has taken this 1 lakh square feet land area on lease, then irrespective of its activity, they have to pay, which is fixed cost. So you realize one thing, fixed factors will have a fixed cost for the company. Whether the company completes 1,000 projects from this space or none, it has to pay the lease rent. Correct? So this sentence highlights the fixed cost, which is always incurred on the fixed factors of production. If Infosys gets projects from 25 Fortune 500 companies, what it will do? It will hire 100 software professionals for this project. Now 100 software professionals, labor. So we have land and we have labor mentioned in this given example. We have another example where we talk about crude oil, which is a basic input for the refinery for producing different petroleum products like petrol, diesel, polymer. Now this is output. Petrol, diesel, polymer is output. Oil refinery. Okay, crude oil is the input for the oil refinery. So crude oil becomes the input which is used by the oil refinery. And see, this will become what? Existing matter. This existing matter is further being processed. So utility is getting added. Form utility, time utility, place utility. When crude oil as an input is used by a refinery to create or generate petrol, diesel and polymer. We have taken another example, sale using iron ore to make steel. Iron ore is again an input which is further processed to make steel, which is a finished product. Students, in this example, we are purely talking about the relation between an existing matter as input and the final output. Flipkart, taking orders and transporting it from one place to other. This example is to highlight place utility. So Flipkart, the services that Flipkart is rendering is creating high amount of time utility for the consumers. Tata company storing tea leaf for future production, time utility. So here, if you look at these examples, then the first two examples are on form utility. Flipkart is an example of place utility. And Tata corporate company, which we took, storing tea leaf, is an example of time utility. In other words, I want to say that in production, form, place and time utility all will always be a part and parcel of the process. Now we move further after understanding production, what a production function is. As I said, this is a very important part of your chapter. Your full chapter revolves around production function. What is it? It's an equation, table or graph showing maximum output. So first thing, remember output. Production function is an equation, a table or a graph which will be reflecting the maximum output that can be produced per time period, because production is a time-bound program. So the maximum output that can be produced per time period, which time period can be per day, per minute, per week, per month, per year, quarterly and so on, depending on the nature of the product. Technology assumed to be constant. Now we are keeping technology constant over here. the very basic production function is the first part. Q is equal to F bracket NLKO. Now what is Q? Q is quantity, output, quantity produced. So quantity of T bags produced, or the quantity of T produced by Tata company. So quantity will always be measured in units. So you already know the unit of measurement. If it is T, it would be measured in tons. Crude oil can be measured in barrels. If it is cloth, fabric, it will be measured in meters, and so on. So quantity will be reflecting the measurement, the production. F stands for function, because we are saying production function. So F represents function. And inside the bracket, we have written those four factors of production. N, land. L, labor. K, capital. O, organization or entrepreneur. But I have added two more additional factors or inputs which have a very strong influence on output, and they are T, technology, M, management. So we say quantity produced of T, quantity produced of electronic goods functionally depends on. See, I'm using the word functionally depends on. That means output functionally depends on land, labor, capital, organization, and of course technology and management. Why have I written it separate? Because our traditional production theory revolves around the four factors: land, labor, capital, organization. But if you look at the scenario, we cannot ignore the role of technology and management. However, technology and management are long run variables. Matlab, it takes a very long period of time for technology and management to be changed in an organization and then to note its impact on output. So therefore, for simplicity, we will be more focusing on the traditional, or we can say the major factors of production that our production theory refers to. Okay? What is the objective of every production function? Why do we prepare this production function? Because we want to find out the level of technical and economic efficiency. Technical and economic efficiency means, with the given inputs, okay, in the minimum cost, how much maximum output can be produced? So let's go further. Here we are going to introduce you to the different types of production functions. So let's understand the types of production function. The very first type of production function is fixed and variable production function. Now, in the case of fixed production function, land and capital are used in fixed proportion. So the amount of machinery and the amount of land that is used in the production process is not going to change. It is in fixed proportion. So there is no scope for substitutability. Substitutability ka matlab hai, you cannot substitute more land with less capital or more machinery with less land. You have to have this combination. So it is a fixed production function. Like for example, if you have, if you are talking about railway ticket booking, then one PC must have one labor. So it is a fixed proportion. You cannot change it. You cannot have two people working on one computer. So this is fixed production function. Other is variable. Variable production function is where factors of production can be varied. This is very, very flexible. So the company can keep making alterations with its labor. Like we can talk about the full-time and part-time employees. So the company can vary. It can make the part-time workers work for more hours, paying them extra if it wants to increase its output. So variable production function is where raw material, okay, or labor can be varied in order to vary the output. So in a business organization, there is a combination of both fixed and variable production functions. Okay, now here we have given you one example. See, the change in output equals the change in input. So what are we trying to say? It's a linear production function. In this linear production function, we are saying if input is increased by 10%, output will also increase in the same proportion. So if you find that it any business organization, if the company is increasing the input by 10%, usually it happens in case of manufacturing products. Like for example, if the company uses more labor, more land, suppose the farmer uses more land, let's take agriculture. If the farmer increases the land area, he can increase the output. But is it linear? Linear will only take place when the change in input and output is constant. It's written as NQ, that is number of output, functionally depends on the number of capital and number of labor. The linear production function that we have mentioned here is a very famous production function used in Cobb-Douglas production function that we are going to study later. So just keep a note of this. Yeah, this is what I was just referring to, the Cobb-Douglas. It's given by two American economists, okay, and they analyzed the manufacturing sector between, it's a very old production theory, mostly in the 18th, 19th century. And what they considered was that there were two most important factors in every manufacturing sector. If you go to any manufacturing companies, it's very important for you to get a data on the machinery and the labor that is used. According to them, they did some mathematical calculations by visiting various manufacturing plants, and they came down to a conclusion that capital contributes 1/4 of the increase in production. And they found labor, it contributes 3/4 of the increase in production. So from the experiments that they conducted, the visits that they had, they came down to a famous mathematical calculation that whenever a company is going to increase its labor and capital, they have to remember that the labor is always going to contribute, or it will increase production by 3/4, whereas capital will increase the production by 1/4. So this is the ratio. To use this for calculation, they developed a Cobb-Douglas equation, which is Q is equal to A. A stands for the technology. L alpha K 1 minus alpha. So what is this L? Labor. K, capital. Alpha stands for the marginal productivity of labor. Matlab ek labor ek time pe kitna kaam kar sakta hai. So one person, how much output the person can give in a given time. Suppose data entry operator. So if you see that the data entry operator starts the work, within 1 hour, how much data is entered by this data entry operator can be checked to know the marginal productivity of labor. Capital, that is the machinery. When you operate with a machinery, how fast the machinery is able to process and get the work done. Like for example, production. You have this glass manufacturing plant. You see that in 1 hour, how many bottles are getting sealed in 1 hour using a particular machinery. So this can be noted to find marginal productivity of the machinery. It's something like average. What is the average time taken to complete a task by labor and by machine? Now, when we say Q, Q stands for output, L and K, as I said, labor. A is a positive constant, it is technology. So whenever A will be changed, it will have a total impact on Q. There is one simple sum given to you over here. Suppose if A is 10, alpha is 0.5, then beta is 1 minus alpha, that is 0.5. So how do we, now we need to know the L and K. That you will know if you go to the manufacturing plant. Suppose there are 100 units of labor. So there are 100 employees. So you will write 10 into 100, 100 raised to 0.5. Now see, 100 raised to 0.5. So it is like a logarithm. You'll have to use a log table to solve. Okay, so don't worry. You don't have to use logarithms in exams. It's only from a theoretical perspective to understand it. So you will have 100 units of labor raised to 0.5. And then suppose capital is 50. So 50 raised to 0.5. You can use logarithm and determine what will be the impact on output. So Cobb-Douglas production function was used to explain a linear homogeneous production. They said that the returns to scale will always be constant. It shows that elasticity of substitution is equal to 1. Now what does it mean? It says that if any one input, like if you take back, taking you back, if L becomes 0, 0 multiplies, so the entire equation will lead to 0. So they have built up a linear. This is how a linear production function looks like. So if in the exam, you have any question on linear production function example, you have to remember Cobb-Douglas. This theory, this production function and Cobb-Douglas equations have been criticized on the ground that Cobb-Douglas have only taken two factors, labor and capital, whereas in organization, there are many other factors also. They are getting ignored. Okay. And they have not mentioned what happens if capital depreciates with time. What if the capital depreciate? How will you use it in the equation? So regarding depreciation of capital, no provision is made in this mathematical equation. And it's not talking about perfect competition, because when we talk about prevalence of perfect competition, it means that there are many sellers, there are many buyers. So in a perfect competition model, where you have a market where there are many companies who are hiring same type of labor and capital, then how the production function can be determined for these organizations. And all units of labor are considered homogeneous. Now this is absolutely not practically possible. We cannot have people with the same skill and same efficiency. Even if they are from the same age group, and even if they are having the same professional degrees, still homogeneity can never be attained. So these are all the criticisms that have been raised with respect to Cobb-Douglas production function. Okay. The next type of production function which we are going to use a lot in our chapters is short run versus long run. Now what is the difference between short run and long run? First of all, the moment you hear the word short run, long run, you think about time. You are right. Short run is a period of time in which at least one of the factors of production remains fixed. Now, when you are reading this, short run, what is short run in production? Short run is a time in which at least one of the factors of production should be fixed. So which would be fixed? Yes. Most of you, what you are thinking is right. Land becomes a fixed factor. The office space becomes a fixed factor. That is short run. Fixed factors are those which cannot be quickly, suddenly changed at a short notice. Remember that. A company cannot overnight close down its office and set up a new office. It will always take time. So when a company is new, it is always operating in the short run. Because most, not just one, many of its factors of production, it tends to keep it fixed. Even employees of a company tend to be fixed for a duration of time. So we say that the firms, organizations are mostly operating in the short run. Long run is a period of time in which all factors become variable. So this is after maybe 5 years, 10 years, when the company goes for growth and expansion, setting up its sub offices across the city or the country, then it is already into the long run production. Here we are elaborating you a little bit more that when one or more inputs remain constant, we consider that time period as short period, whereas when all inputs are capable of being varied. So see, again, there is no hard and fast rule. Ki short run will be 1 year, less than 1 year, long run will be more than 1 year and all. because our short run and long run categorization totally depends on how easy and quickly the company can vary its input. So the moment the company can vary all its inputs, so when we say all inputs, we are talking of raw material, machinery, labor, even the land, when they can be varied, it is regarded as a long period time for the company. Now, we have devoted a lot of slides for short run and long run because from here onwards, the famous laws that you are going to study about production rest on short run and long run principle. So here I have prepared a chart where I have clubbed the laws. So the short run production law that you are studying is known as the law of returns. It is also known as law of variable proportion. So if you are ever referring to the law of returns or the law of variable proportion, then it is known as short run production function. Remember that. Whereas in the long run, the law is known as law of returns to scale. So law of returns to scale is a long run production function. Law of returns, if it is only law of returns, the word scale is not attached to it, then categorize it as short run production function. Okay, we are going to study these two laws in the further slides. So we go ahead here now with the law of returns. Now let's understand what this law of returns is. Law of returns, it is also known as law of variable proportion. It very clearly explains us the relation between input and output. But here, we are going to keep input fixed. So when you are studying law of returns, remember it is a short run law in which at least one of the factor of production has to be considered fixed. That's what it's written here. See, the law examines the production function with only one factor variable, keeping quantities of other factors constant. So in this law, that's why it's called law of variable proportion, because we are keeping one factor variable and we want to really understand how much the variable factor is going to impact the total output. When you study this law, you will be facing three different stages of the law, which is increasing returns, constant returns, and diminishing returns. Now remember, students, these returns, increasing, constant, diminishing, are purely based on output. So we will observe how the output is changing when the company has fixed and variable factors, and when the company is increasing its variable factor, let's say when the company is increasing the labor hours, or when a farmer is increasing the more seeds and fertilizers and pesticides in his field, then how is the output increasing? So the output is never found to be increasing in the same proportion. There will be an uneven change seen or observed in output when input is being varied. So that change in output will be, when you see that output is increasing, you will say that it is the increasing return stage. But when the output becomes constant, that means even if variable input is increased, but output is not changing, then we say constant returns have set in. And after constant returns, it is bound to bring diminishing returns. Diminishing returns means what? Where the output will not increase, but now it will start falling. So this is, to understand this, we need a mathematical table. So we'll go ahead for the production schedule. Yeah. In this schedule, the first thing that you have to observe is which is the variable factor mentioned. There are four columns. In the first column, we have taken seeds. So it's understood that it's an agricultural sector. Example. Land will be the fixed factor, right? So land is the fixed factor. Farmer will be the fixed factor. But labor is not taken as fixed because a farmer can always hire more laborers for getting his cultivation done. So land is a fixed factor, okay? Now look at the seeds measured in kgs. It's increasing from 1 to 5. So the seeds are increasing from 1 kg, 2 kg, 3 kg, 4 kg to 5 kg. Now how do we measure output? This is what you have to remember. Output is termed as total product, average product, marginal product. So total product, average product, marginal product. Total product already given to you. You must have total product. Out of the three, any one should be known to you. You cannot calculate without any data on product. Product is output. And output under the law of returns is termed as or measured under total product, average product, and marginal product. Total product is the total output that we get from the total input. So when 1 kg seeds are being sown on 1 acres of land using the other inputs, we are getting 96 kgs of wheat. Let's say wheat is the output. When 2 kg seeds are used, we are getting 130. Now you may be thinking 2 kg se 130 kg kaise ho raha hai. Okay, so here we are just, it's a hypothetical table. It's only to make you understand how the input output ratio changes and what is the impact of variable. So take it as a very hypothetical, as a very numerical table to first understand the numerical and the arithmetic concept. So you can see that as this variable factor is increasing, our total product numbers are also increasing, but not after 4. Now, why is it happening? So to understand that, we will first find out the average. This is where you have to be clear from exam point of view. You may have a calculation on average and marginal product, so you should know the formula. The formula for average product is total product divided by n. N will always stand for the number of variable inputs. So, come on, start dividing. 96 divided by 1, 130 divided by 2, 155 divided by 3, 160 divided by 4, and 140 divided by 5. Come on, get the values. So, this is a production schedule, and in this schedule, we will learn how can we calculate the various productivity. Students, remember that here we have given you seeds, which is the variable input, and then the total output, that is quantity, is getting split into total product, average product, marginal product. Total product values are given to you. Total product means total output by using the input. So we can see that the let's say the product is wheat. So the output of wheat is increasing from 96 kgs to 160, that is the highest. But after that, it falls. Now you have to calculate average product and marginal product. Remember, we are splitting the output into three categories: total, average, marginal. If you know total, from total you can derive average, from total you can derive marginal. First, understand the formula. This is important for you from exam point of view. Average product. Average product is always total product divided by n. Suppose this is 130. 2 kgs of seeds or 2 units of input gives you 130 ka output. So what is the average? What will you do? 130 divided by 2. That gives you 34, right? 155 divided by 3. When you divide 155 by 3, your answer will be 25. Okay, so I am sure students might have calculated at their end. The formulas are given to you. So let's check the answers. The average product answer for the first unit is 96, because you divide 96 by 1. Then your answer is 51.66, 40, and 28. right? I'll just repeat, you can counter check your answers. 96, we are talking of average product, okay? 96, 65, 51.66, 40, and finally you have 28, right? Because you are dividing 140 by 5. Now we have marginal product. What is marginal product? It is delta TP upon delta N. Delta ka matlab hota hai change. So for the first unit, it will be a dash. Now what you do, you know, see the inputs are increasing by one unit only. So you don't have to use this delta N. You only have to take the difference. Delta means change. So 130 minus 96. So 130 minus 96 gives you 34, right? So that you will write here in this category, second row category. Then 155 minus 130, that gives you 25. Then 160 minus 155 gives you 5. And 140 minus 160, 140 minus 160. So it's actually 160 minus 140, but we do it like this only. Fifth unit, total product 140. So 140 minus the previous, that means minus 20. So minus ka matlab hai negative returns. Marginal productivity has become negative. Now this way you will calculate average and marginal product. Now what you have to remember, students, agar marginal product answer is increasing, if this last answer that you derive is increasing, then it is increasing returns. If your last column answer is same, constant, then you will declare it as constant return stage. And if your answer starts reducing, then it will be diminishing returns or negative, which we found here. So in this way, this was a very dummy hypothetical production schedule to just make you refresh your arithmetic skills, that once we know the total product, how can we calculate average and marginal product? Okay, so what do we learn from this law, students? We learn that for most of the production process, if the managers are going to add equal increments, equal increment was our first column where the seeds were increasing. So when the company is increasing its inputs while holding other inputs constant, that is important. Why our marginal product answer is decreasing? Because we are only increasing one variable factor, but other inputs are constant. So therefore, this marginal product, which is called incremental gains in business language, keeps getting smaller. And if we push it to the extreme, it becomes counterproductive. So therefore, whenever we are involved in any task, like now I'm taking the sessions with you, I also have to understand this law of returns applicable to me as well as to the students. Any activity, if you keep on doing it continuously without break, a point will reach where it starts becoming counterproductive. Students stop listening, faculty doesn't know what they are saying, and we reach a stage where it's all becoming counterproductive. The reason is our energy is a fixed factor. As we use more and more of our energy for accomplishing a task, we are definitely trying to have less level of concentration with the duration of time. Therefore, simple breaks, short breaks are very essential either in the learning process so that you do not face diminishing marginal returns. Okay, choosing the best combination where you get the maximum output with a given input is what the law is trying to teach us. Thank you.